Well, in my early years of the ministry, I used to just take it for granted that when I went to this camp or this revival or this weekend meeting or this Sunday service, I just took it for granted. But as I've gotten older, I guess I've sort of changed my thinking a little bit. I look at it from this perspective now that when I do get an invitation to go to this church or that camp or this meeting, I look at it from the standpoint that they have confidence in Brother Webb's ministry and enough to give him an invitation. Before, never thought about it, just figured that they should. But now it's a different story. I'm happy to be here in Wiseball under this condition. Understand this lady here, that your dad's a pastor. Well, there's a whole lot of new faces around here. And my wife said that's Brother and Sister Ziegler's daughter up there. I said, so you, instead of the board telling him, you tell your dad that Brother Webb's thankful for the invitation to come. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see. Supposed to preach, that's right. So I'll have to see what we can find here. How about the 21st chapter of John's Gospel? That'd be the last chapter in the Gospel of John. There's a brief passage of Scripture, and I want to share that with you tonight. Oh, it really paid off on those mashed potatoes that you dig a hole and pour the gravy in. Let me assure you, I can assure you that. It paid off. Now, we didn't get the warm peach cobbler and the two dips of soft ice vanilla ice cream, but something run pretty close second to it. Or maybe it was ahead of it. Maybe it's the amen. Most of you fellas, you look like you like those mashed potatoes with a hole in it. Yeah, you do, don't you? Yeah, tell by looking at you. John's Gospel, chapter 21. I want you to stand with me, and I'm going to read starting with verse 15 and read about three verses here. 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to serve you. Thank you for the services today. Thank you for this church and for what it stood for across all of these many years. We thank you for the wonderful grace that brings salvation, that hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteous in this present world. Thank you for your word, forever settled in heaven. We're glad that you ever got our attention so many years ago, and we found our way into the family of God. That witness in our heart that ever sin's been covered by the blood, the Holy Spirit abides. We thank you for that assurance this Sunday night. We ask you that you help us in this portion of your word. Whatever's accomplished, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul made the statement on one occasion that he had a co-laborer by the name of Demas that had a love for the world. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. John, in his later years, gave the testimony that he went to church with a man that loved preeminence. His name was Diotrephes. The third epistle, verse 9, Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence. In this brief passage of Scripture that I read tonight, John chapter 21, verse 15, 16, 17, the Apostle Peter makes the statement that he loves the Savior. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, thou knowest I love you. Feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Thou knowest I love thee. Feed my sheep. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. So when you stop to think that Demas loved the world, Diotrephes loved the preeminence, and Peter loved the Savior. And that leads me to these three verses of Scripture here. It's an interesting passage, and I want to talk to you about it. Really, what it is, it's an interview that Jesus gave to Peter. Peter's interviewed by the Savior, and that's what I want to talk about, being interviewed by the Savior. And I would ask you the question in the service tonight, have you been interviewed? Have you had your interview with Jesus? You see, the picture that we have here in the Savior interviewing Simon Peter, son of John, involved a discussion of love. Peter said three times, I love you. I love you. I love you. He used the word phileo. That don't mean anything to us, by the way. Well, I'm going to try to make it mean something to you before it's over with. Phileo. And that's the word for love as far as a love of friendship, or the love of a friend, or a saved love. Now, the stem of the word, philet, that would be phi, if you know that, iota, lambda, epsilon. That's philet. And so when you put the suffix to the word, the ending of it, it tells you what person it's in. First person singular, second person singular, third person. So when Peter said, I love you, phileo, the last letter of the Greek alphabet, omega, omega, would be I love you, first person. Or if you conjugated the verb, it's phileo, phileis, phileo, phileo men, phileete, phileousi. You see. Now you don't see it in the your King James 1611 Authorized Edition, 400 years old this year. You don't see it there. You just see the word love. So Peter says, "I love you with a love of friendship." And when you go back and look at the word that Jesus used, he used a different word. You see, he used the word agapo. Well, in this case, it's second person singular. So it would be agapes. That's divine love. That's charity love. That's sanctified love. So it's an interesting statement. Simon, son of Jonas, Peter, son of John, do you agapes me? Do you love me with a divine love? Lord, thou knowest I love you with a phileo. You know I love you with a love of friendship, then feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonas, Peter, son of John, agapes me, you love me. Do you love me with a divine love? Lord, thou knowest I love you with a saved love. You know I love you with phileo. Then feed my sheep. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love you. Now, when Jesus comes to the third time he uses the word love, he switches over and uses the word that Simon Peter had used. He uses the word phileo. Well, it would be second person, you love. So phileis would be. So the whole picture is this. Well, I don't know if it's a whole picture, but anyway. The Lord is saying to Simon Peter, do you love me with a sanctified heart? He says, Lord, I love you with a saved heart. Then feed my lambs. Simon, do you love me with a sanctified love? Lord, I love you with a saved love. Then the Lord said, Simon, do you even love me with a saved love? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you with a saved love or with a phileo. The matter of being interviewed by the Savior involves a discussion of love. Now, if you go back a couple of weeks before this statement here, these three verses, probably a couple of weeks, a few days. Well, let me back up and ask you, why do you suppose the Savior asked Simon Peter three times, lovest thou me? Why did he ask him three times that question? Well, I don't know that I'd have the exact concrete proper answer, but satisfies my thinking. I'll tell you why I think the Lord asked Simon Peter three times if he loved him, was because he remembered that he had denied him three times. Just probably wasn't 2 weeks before that, that on three different occasions Simon Peter had denied the Lord. You remember the story. The Lord told him, he said, all of you are going to forsake me. Oh, not me. You know, Peter, he reminded me of the Webb family. We kick our mouth into gear before our brain functions. Yeah, we're talking about stuff we don't even know what we're saying. Peter spoke right up. Oh, he said, not me. I wouldn't forsake you. Well, you will. No. I started this way. I wouldn't do it. Well, now listen. He said, I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And so the story must have been a cool afternoon, and he's over there. He wanted to associate now with the crowd that wanted to crucify the Savior. He didn't want the people to know that he'd been a follower of the Savior. So he's in among that crowd, warming his hands. And one of those little maids said, you're the one. Said, you go down there to that Wise Ball Community Church, don't you? Oh, no, I've never been. No, you're not me, huh? No. So he slipped over among his other crowd. They didn't like the Savior. They're going to crucify him. So he said, you know what? You're the fella. You're one of his, aren't you? No. Oh, no. No, you've never seen me turn into that gravel road and head down there to the Wise Ball Community Church. Not me. Oh, no, that's not me. So the third time, he got just a little perturbed over the fact that they kept putting the pressure on him, and he used coarse language and swore. And two fence posts down, the Lord had a great big oversized rooster sitting there, and he crowed real loud and long, and Peter turned and looked into the eyes of innocency. He told him, he said, three times, you'll deny me before the rooster crows. And so I'm going to propose the suggestion that the reason why the Lord asked Simon Peter three times if he loved him was because he denied him three times, and so he wanted to make sure, do you really love me? Now, I'm going to jump ahead of time. I'm going to go from this passage, probably a couple of weeks. I'm not for sure. I tried to find the details on it. Did you ever wonder if you knew that the Savior used the word agapes, and Peter used the word phileo? Did you ever entertain the thought, why was the two different words? Well, the reason, I think the Lord was introducing to Simon Peter a love that he didn't know anything about. You see, Pentecost is what brought agape, divine love, Pentecost. And that's about 2 weeks away from this particular passage of Scripture here. Jesus told his disciples again and again, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come, but if I depart, I'll send him. And so the Savior's ascension 10 days later became the Spirit's descension on the day of Pentecost. And Peter's in the upper room. He's among that crowd now. He asked the Lord to forgive him, and he told the Lord he loved him. And so here's the baptism of the Holy Ghost when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there's a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And I couldn't help but think that the Apostle Peter, if there's 13 treads from the second floor to the first floor, that Simon Peter probably took it about six treads at a time. After he got the baptism of the Spirit, it's thump, thump, And he's right out there preaching to that crowd to crucify him, you see. And so the Lord's introducing him when he says, Simon, son of Jonas, Peter, son of John, do you love me with a sanctified heart? Well, Peter hadn't. I love you with a saved heart. Well, feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonas, Peter, son of John, do you love me with a divine love, a sanctified heart? Well, Lord, I love you with a saved heart. I think he's introducing him. There's a fuller way. There's a better way to love Jesus than to not only have all of your sins forgiven, but the thing that made you do it in the first place. There's a sure cure for it. And just about two more weeks from now, you'll be in the upper room and you'll understand what I'm talking about when I talk about, do you love me with a sanctified heart? Praise the Lord. So I need to make that applicable in this service tonight. And I ask you, have you had your interview with the Savior? Have you been interviewed? You see, the wonderful thing about it, when he asks us if we love him with a sanctified love, we can respond and say, Lord, I love you with a sanctified agapo, first person singular. I love you with a sanctified love. So to be interviewed by the Savior in 2011 involves a discussion of love. That's point number one. How many you got? Three. The second one is that to be interviewed by the Savior involves a discussion of the these. Back to verse 15. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, why do you suppose the Lord didn't tell us what the these were? What would be your idea? Oh, don't all of you stand up and tell me at the same time. Why do you think the Savior stopped? Lovest thou me more than these? Well, I'll tell you why I think it's like that. To give us plenty of room to preach in 2011 about what the these are, is what I think it's for. There's a whole lot of these that people don't love Jesus because of the these. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these disciples? These fellas you've been fishing with all night. You know, they fished all night and didn't catch anything. Boy, that'd be a waste. That'd be a waste of time, wouldn't it? You know, you couldn't get bed sores, but you'd sure get tired of trying to find fish if you fished all night like that. Do you love me more than these disciples? That involves two branches. Do you love me more than these friends? These are your friends. These are your fishermen friends. You hobnob with them. They're your buddies. And do you love me more than you love your friends? So that's quite a question to ask in an interview with a person in 2011. So I'm just going to ask you, do you love Jesus more than you love your friends? She started well, and she meant right. She was at an old-fashioned martyr's bench, gave her heart to God, and loved Jesus. But she never broke with her friends, the old worldly friends. You don't mean to tell? Oh, we heard you were a Christian, but you don't mean to tell me you mean you're not going to go with us anymore on Friday nights? You kidding me? You don't mean you're going to go to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and midweek? You got that kind of religion? So that pressure of her friends wasn't long until she was back in the same crowd. So do you love the Savior more than you love your friends? Well, he started well. He did good for quite a while. But he never did leave the old crowd, that tobacco-chewing crowd that spits brown and dips snuff. You know, that tough crowd with the tattoos on the top of his bald head to the bottom of the soles of his feet, you know, with his tank top and his pigtail hanging down his back. He's about 99% wind, hot air, most of them are, you know. It's quite a world out there. Let me tell you, it's a naked world, ungodly, filthy, immoral. We've plummeted clear to the bottom, morals in America, you know. I reprove them once in a while, right to their face. Yeah. Get some of those fellows off to the side and talk to them about how hot hell's going to be. What it's going to be like to burn for an eternity. They change the story. I pass out tracts to the fellows at the Swifty filling station there. And I said, now don't you throw it away. Mark, don't you throw that away now until you read it. Oh, he said, I won't. He said, I'll share it with the others. And boy, well, that's what you call evangelism, you see. Just you take one of those tracts that's printed from Old Tract Society and hand it over to them, and they just spread the gospel for you. Do you love Jesus more than you love your friends? And so you don't mean to tell me, you mean you're not going to go to the Friday night ball game? You're not. Well, you used to. You mean Saturday's out? You're going to go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night? No, you really. And so he never broke with that crowd. So the interview involves a discussion of these. Do you love Jesus more than your friends? Blood relatives and family kin, that's involved in that. You see, Andrew was his flesh and blood brother. He's a fisherman. So the Lord could have said to Peter, do you love me more than you love your blood relatives and family kin? Somebody said blood runs thicker than water. Oh, yeah. It's condemned outside of the family. Now, if he does it, it's wrong. But if it's within the family, it's a horse of a different color. You say, well, it's just a certain circumstances. And so the interview in 2011 is, do you love the Savior more than you love your blood relatives and family kin? Jesus gave us, he gave us a threefold requirement for true discipleship in Luke chapter 14. And at that 26th verse, if any man come to me and hate not his mother and father and wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, cannot be my disciple. That's pretty close preaching. If any man, now that's anthropos, that would mean either a male or a female, either gender, a man or woman, anybody. If any man come to me and hate not his mother and father, wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he can't be my disciple. If you don't put God in first place, beyond mom and dad and wife and children, brethren and sisters, in your own life, you can't be his disciple. So the question in the interview is, do you love Jesus more than you love blood relatives and family kin? Oh, they got Montgomery family reunions down here. We used to have some Webb reunions, and we'd go to them once in a while, and then I quit going. They wanted to talk about their cars and their houses and their land and their money, how important we were, and so I'd sit and listen to them and then I'd start to talk to them about old time religion. It was just like I threw a great big wet, soggy wet blanket on the atmosphere, you see, just like, man. And so I charted my course a long time ago in spite of blood relatives and family kin, and so they got so they'd say, well, Orlo's too good to come to the reunion. Yeah, I guess you're right. Now, if they would have given me equal time, you see, they talk about my oldest brother, Clifford. I mean, you never knew what he was going to wear. He may have pink breeches and white bucks on and purple necktie, look like some of the rainbows in our circles in these days, you know. He'd have two or three nice big rings, and he'd talk about his nice car he had and how much money he had in the bank. And just as soon as Orlo talked about old-time religion, if they'd give me equal time, I wouldn't have mind going. You see, I could wait it out and listen to the cars and the jobs and everything, and then I'd talk to them about where they were going to go if they didn't give their heart to God. But I do. So the interview with the Savior, when Jesus said to Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He's probably saying, do you love me more than these disciples, your friends and your blood relatives and family kin? He probably said to him, do you love me more than the necessities of life? Jesus probably said to Simon Peter, you love me more than you love that boat? You love me more than you love the fishing nets? You love me more than the oars and the anchor? You see, that was their livelihood. That's his job. That's what he used it for. And so you translate that to 2011. Do you love Jesus more than you love your job? Now that gets a little bit, one fellow said that's where the rubber meets the road. The pedal meets the metal. Is do you love Jesus more than you love your job? One fellow said in the wholeness movement some years ago, he said we've lost the Sabbath issue among our people. Our slick-tongued, smooth-talking, compromising clergymen that straddle the fence and don't have anything to say about it anymore. That's why. It's still the fourth commandment of the ten. Yeah, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So it wouldn't hurt anybody to have an interview in 2011. Do you love Jesus more than you love your job? That is quite a question. I've wondered, let me back up and tell you this, that there's only two reasons why people in our movements work on the Lord's Day. There's only two. What are they? Number one is we knew when we got the job, before we got it, that we'd have to work on the Lord's Day in order to keep it or we couldn't have the job. So that's number one. The second reason is the money. They don't pay minimum wage, you see. There's only two reasons why they go and work on the Lord's Day in our movement, profess religion, is because they know they're going to lose the job if they don't work on the Lord's Day. Now listen carefully to me. There are five Sabbaths in the book of God, five of them. They're all interwoven together. Antiquity Sabbath, Patriarchal Sabbath, Mosaic Sabbath, Christian Sabbath, and Eternity Sabbath. All of them, they're interwoven together. My daughter Monica has been wanting Daddy to hurry up and get that series put together so I go to her church and preach on it. I said, well, it's not my responsibility to tell those that work on the Lord's Day in your church. It's Barry's responsibility to tell them. Look them in the white of the eye and tell them. The only two reasons why they do is they know they'll lose their job if they don't. Well, anyway, I didn't think you'd be quite that quiet, but anyway, it gives me an opportunity to think about what kind of an illustration I could use. This has been 40 years probably or better now. This young fella, he's a young married man, Christian young fella, probably over 40 years. And he got a job that he'd been wanting for a long time, working the postal department. He's going to deliver mail in the town where he lived. Good benefits, nice paying job. He wanted this would be his life's occupation, to deliver mail. Now, he hadn't been there too many weeks or months, and the postmaster said to him one day, he said, you're going to have to come in on Sunday to sort the mail for Monday. Oh, he said, I couldn't do that. Oh, no, I couldn't either. And so it dropped for a while. A couple of weeks later, the postmaster said to him the second time, he said, you're going to have to start coming in on Sunday to sort the mail for Monday. Oh, he said, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I think it was the third time, a few weeks later, the postmaster getting a little bit riled up, you see, and he told him, he said, you're going to have to start coming in on Sundays to sort the mail for Monday. Oh, he said I couldn't do that. He said, I'm a Christian. The postmaster said, well, I'm a Christian too, and said, I come in and sort the mail. And so that young Christian married man reached a point in, do I love Jesus more than I love my job? So you know what he did? Did the right thing. When he found out that it was either a matter of coming in on Sunday and sorting the mail or keeping my relationship with the Lord, he chose to serve God, and he's taken care of him across all these years. So anyway, 2011, to be interviewed by the Savior not only involves a discussion of love, but it involves a discussion of the these. Simon, son of Jonas, Peter, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? I don't know, but what he left room to say, do you love me more than these disciples love me? You see, these fellows, they've left all to follow me. Is your love beyond the love of Andrew and beyond the other disciples? Do you love me more than these disciples love me? And that's a question to ask you. What about your agapo? Phileo, whichever it may be, do you love Jesus more than you love the other people that they love him? Now you go back to that requirement that the Savior gave us in Luke chapter 14, Verse 26, if any man come to me, any person, anyone come to me and hate not mother and father, wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You see, God has to have first place in everything. And they all said in a rumbling roar, amen. Yeah, I like that. Just vibrated those thermal pains, didn't it? Yes. Yeah. So an interview with the Savior involves a discussion of love, involves a discussion of the these. That's 2 points. That leaves us just one left. Yeah. It involves a discussion of instruction. Go back to verse 15. Simon, son of Jonas, Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these, Lord? Thou knowest I love you. Then feed my lambs. Feed the little ones. Feed the new converts. Feed the young ones in the church. Well, boy, that puts all the responsibility at your doorstep, Brother Webb. You're the preacher. That's your responsibility. Have a lot of it to do. And there's a whole heap of them, but don't they skirt their responsibilities when it comes to that? But it's not just the preacher's responsibility to feed the lambs. It's the Sunday school teacher's responsibility to feed the lambs. The young ones, the beginners. It's the board member's responsibilities of the church in the leadership to see to it that we feed the lambs, the young ones. Anyone in the church that professes old-time religion, we have a responsibility to do our best to feed the lambs, the young ones, the ones that are new in the Lord, or just our own little children. We have a responsibility to feed them. What do we feed them? Sincere milk of the Word. Yeah, sincere milk of the Word. The book of God, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Every bit of it. Never had any problem. Oh, well, I'd have too. Yeah, I've had a little problem. There's some things in the Bible I don't understand. You don't? No, really. In fact, there's a whole bunch of them. You know, it's really dry reading in your devotions when you get in the bells and the pomegranates. Well, it is. And those genealogies, I tell you what, I have a difficult time getting blessed when I read a bunch of those genealogies about 4 o'clock in the morning. Mephibosheth. Well, who in the world would want to name their son a name like that? No wonder the fellow walked with a limp. And old Chilton was bad enough, let alone. Used to ask my dad what he had against me to call me what he did. You feed him the sincere milk of the Word. Now, you know what most of our lambs are fed? What's that, Brother Ed? Sugar water and cotton candy? That's about all they get anymore in our churches. Sugar water and cotton candy. Yeah. You know, I just told the Lord today. That's wonderful. Over a half a century has come since I knelt as a young man. That little white wooden frame, Pilgrim Holiness Church, set on that Tennessee mountain. Preacher's boy, hot-headed, quick-tempered, needed a good dose of old-time religion. Half a century's come and gone. And oh, I wouldn't trade some of those things, those memories that are stamped indelibly on my mind, of that old-fashioned rugged crown, the D.W. Fawcett crown that skin and peel, and you talk about cotton candy and sugar water, million miles from it. Oh, you came to church shaking in your boots. You wanted to make sure you'd prayed about an hour before you got to church. You'd feel like a hypocrite when they got through preaching. And these days we give them cotton candy and sugar water. Social emphasis. It's about all it is in some places. The only way you get some people to come to church is we're going to have a fish fry, or we're going to have a bake sale, or we're going to have spaghetti dinner or something like that. And we all have to build great big oversized fellowship halls because we go there more than we do to church. We have bigger crowds over at the fellowship hall than we do the church. And so that's sugar water and cotton candy. And they don't survive on it. Oh, no. We got people that profess religion in this day that don't know the first thing about a real, radical, genuine relationship with God Almighty. They don't know the first thing about it. They're little glib cliches of of saved and sanctified. It's just like a recording. But that real relationship, they don't know anything about it. Grew up in the church, learned to listen. Our boy Wesley was in the high chair in Ohio. And something didn't go to suit him, just a little shaver, and I think Monica said to him, said Wesley, you can't act like that and be a Christian. Wesley said, I'm saved and sanctified. And he just a little song. In fact, Sister Angie over here, she was his kindergarten teacher over at Faith Mission School when we moved over here 27 years ago. She was his teacher, and she told him one day, she said something about, Wesley, you do such and such. He said to her, you're not my boss. Well, he had two sisters that bossed him around, a brother that bossed him around. Daddy turned him upside down and wore out his britches and everything. And so he's just tired of it. He said, you're not my boss. At 5 years old. Well, he soon found out that she was more his boss than what he thought she was. Old-fashioned, rugged religion. That's what I cut my teeth on. Yes, sir. I drive miles to... When they talked about this fellow, boy, he's a radical. Oh, just out of curiosity, I wanted to go hear him. Yeah, just out of curiosity, you know. Now, if they preach 2.5 hours, then you have to tell them that we won't be back tomorrow night. We've got enough for all week. You know. You see, an interview with the Savior involves a discussion of instruction. Feed my lambs the sincere milk of the Word and not cotton candy and sugar water. Lead him into green pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, thou shalt not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We go from the sincere milk of the Word to the deep things of God. Oh, yes. I probably told you before, since it's been a while since I've been here, to tell you, it won't hurt to tell some of the younger ones that I don't know of one thing in the book of God that I have any problem or hesitancy with. If I thought the Lord wanted me to chew purple bubble gum, did you ever hear me say that? If I knew the Lord wanted me to chew purple bubble gum, you know what I'd do? I'd chew purple bubble gum. If nobody did, I'd buy it by the box and carton. I wouldn't blow bubbles and stick it on the bottom of the seat, but I would do it if I thought that's what the Lord wanted me to do. I don't know a thing in the book of God, the Lord being my witness. Now, some people said, well, I have some trouble with some things I don't understand. Oh, that's not their problem. It's what they do understand. That's where their problem is. You see, they have difficulty with that part of it. Yeah. Well, I never could ever figure out. No, that's not the problem. The problem is what you did figure out, and you don't measure up to it, and we want to skirt around it. Well, anyway, that's enough, Ma. It's almost time to go home, isn't it? You know. Simon, son of Jonas, Peter, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, thou knowest I love you. Then feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonas, Peter, son of John, do you love me with a sanctified heart? Lord, you know I love you. And in this day, Lord, you know I love you with agapes. You know I love you with a divine love. Praise the Lord. Then lead my sheeplings. Simon, son of Jonas, Peter, son of John, lovest thou me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you with a sanctified heart. And he does know all things, and he knows if we love him with a sanctified heart. Praise the Lord. So to be interviewed by the Savior involves a discussion of love, and it involves a discussion of the these, and it involves a discussion of instruction. We could say we are sufficiently sorensified in the Lord's of expression or loss in the ocean of verbosity. All right. Now there's a chorus. I don't think it's in any of these songbooks. I want you to sing it. You know it. I wrote it down in my tablet here. Oh, that's how old I am there, that one. That's that one 26,367. Modern times have brought many blessings. People live in wealth and luxury, but the Master still asks the question, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than these? You know that, don't you? Times have brought us many blessings. People live in wealth and luxury. But the master's will ask the question, lovest thou me, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these, my child? Precious Lord, I love thee more than all of these. More than fame, more than wealth, more than the world. Let's stand together and sing it again. If you're here and you have a need and you want to pray, I'd be happy to pray with you. Just make sure your interview with the Savior is just exactly what it ought to be. All right. Lovest thou me more than these, my son, God will and serve thee. Gracious Lord, I love thee more than all of these, more than fame, more than wealth, more than the world. Tell your dad thanks. Would you do that? Thank you for coming. Now, Lord.